Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious, somber, yet issue that I believe should bring consternation and concern in the heart and the life of everyone listening to this broadcast today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you think that there is a great wealth of Bible knowledge among believers today? Have you seen a falling away? Have you sensed among your friends and family and fellow Christians that there is a nonchalant attitude about the churches being closed? What have you seen? What do you feel? How does this relate to you? What would you like to say in response to it? We're talking about the fact that we're finding with the Barna Report and the Lifeway Survey, so many are saying that the Bible is not relevant, and that there's some 54% that's saying that it is the Scripture is obsolete. As time changes, the Scripture becomes obsolete. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." I don't know how clear you can get any more clear than that. You find in Isaiah 40:8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever." How long is forever? Forever. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me to understand that regardless of what passes away, what comes and what goes, the word of God's going to stand forever. And then in 1 Peter 1:25, the scripture is very clear. "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." I don't know how long you think forever is, but forever is forever. And the word of God is not something that is transient. The word of God is not something that you can take or leave. The word of God is not something that can be portioned, tossed in the garbage can and the balance of it received. It's something that is in totality going to stand forever. In fact, in Psalms 119:105, the Bible says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." You find yourself stumbling and falling in life. Where's the light? The light comes from the word of God. Psalms 119:11, "Thy word," David said, "have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." In fact, that scripture is relevant throughout all of Psalms 119 in relationship to the word and the strength of the word. David said in Psalms 119:72, "The word is better than gold and silver." Psalms 119:105, the scripture says, "It is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." Psalms 119:111, "The word is a heritage forever." Forever. Psalms 119:126, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." And that's what we see taking place today, is an attempt to evacuate, to void, and to eviscerate the word of God. And the end result, ladies and gentlemen, is being felt in our churches and among those that otherwise would take a stand on the word of God today. As a result of the so-called legal entities in America saying that it's legal, it's okay, we can shut the church down. We're going to talk about it a little later in this broadcast. Dr. John MacArthur said, no, it's not all right to shut the church down. We're going to honor Christ and not Caesar when it comes to church. And his church had been closed for some 8 weeks before his eyes were open, and he decided to take a stand, the stand that I've been taking now for some 3-4 months in relationship to the need for our churches to open. It is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to keep the law of God. We need to understand that we need to embrace the word of God. It is something that we find that is so sad to see, but true today, where we're watching the apostasy, the falling away. In fact, in Psalms 119:142, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth." Not some truth, partial truth, but is truth. We understand, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 119:152, "Thou hast founded them," speaking of the law, the word of God, "forever, forever." In Psalms 119:160, it talks about the word of God enduring forever. And I want us to emphasize that, because as we look at, ladies and gentlemen, some of the statistical data, let me just read to you some statistical data from Lifeway Research, Dateline Nashville, Tennessee. "Most churchgoers say they can address doubts. Others have about the Bible, but half admit Notice now, most churchgoers say they can address doubts others have about the Bible, but half admit they have problems understanding the Scripture themselves. A recent Lifeway research study in partnership with Explore the Bible curriculum found 57% of Protestant churchgoers say they find it challenging to make sense out of the Bible when they read it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply be very pointed and very, very personal. The reason behind that is because we have diatribe, cotton candy, being proclaimed from the pulpits today, and not exegetical, expository, verse-by-verse preaching of the Word of God. Most say, well, I don't understand the book of Revelation. Well, it's because they've never been taught the book of Revelation. Most say that I don't understand what the Bible says, and then they'll name some place in the Scripture they don't understand. Well, it's because they've not been taught it, and as a result of that, they do not read it with a sense of urgency in the understanding that the Word of God stands forever. Further in this research data, most admit they stumble on understanding the specific meaning of the Word of God as they read it. Studying together also allows us, talking about the need to be together and studying the Word, studying together also allows us to gain insights from others and to move us forward in our study as well. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, it's so vital for our churches to be open. It's for Bible study. You can get in groups and have dialogue and discussion about the Word of God with a Sunday school teacher or a Bible teacher teaching the Word of God and allowing the dialogue and the discussion. How can you do that online, ladies and gentlemen, with virtual church and streaming the message, as it's called, in today's society? Further, the article states here, 4 in 5 express confidence in their ability to help others with doubts about the truthfulness of the Scripture. That is the reason we need churches to be open. Difficult accepting morals taught in the Bible, some 82%, and confusion over Bible passages, some 81% say. Those who attend church most frequently have no confidence, have more confidence, that is, in helping others understand the confusion passages in the Scripture. As part of that exploration process, overwhelmingly, churchgoers see two aspects as important: understanding the original context of the passage and applying that passage to modern context in living. Nearly all churchgoers say it's important to understand the context in which the Bible was written. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that is ultimately important. Here's the danger. Here's the sad part. 1/4, that is 25% approximately, believe some Bible truths become obsolete as culture changes. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a sad phenomenon when that is the case. And then mixed with that, some 24% make that statement, and another 30% say, I accept some truths from the Bible, but others just don't fit what I believe. Hear what that's saying. A person that has the audacity to say that, they're saying, I'm smarter than God. I know more than God. I know how to live my life, and God doesn't. I know what I believe, and I don't care what the Scripture says. I recall many years ago when preaching on a controversial issue in our church services on a Wednesday night, 3 young ladies came and visited one Sunday night, and after the teaching, immediately came forward and wanted to buttonhole me with some of the things they disagreed with. And I'd simply, as they would make one of them would make a statement, I'd say, well, here's what it says right here, and open the Scripture and show them. And then another would say this, and another would say this. And finally, one of the young ladies said, I don't care what the Bible says, I know what I believe. And that's exactly what we see taking place according to this survey that we see today. It is exactly what we see happening. Doing Bible study correctly takes time, it takes thought, but it takes that time and thought and the meditation on the Word and the study of the Word to get it into our hearts and our lives to change, and for us to have an encounter with God on what God wants us to do and not what we think that we ought to do based on our own feelings. Ladies and gentlemen, it is this factor. The 30% of churchgoers now, 30% say they accept some truth from the Bible, but other biblical texts do not fit what they believe. I don't know of anything that could be any more detrimental than that within the body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just simply put it this way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is very, very clear. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by dia, that is through the word of God. So where's the faith in the word of God? It's by the study of the word, the opening of the word, the proclaiming of the word of God from the pulpits across America that need to be opened. Pastors need to grow backbones and spines and come out of the closet, come out from under the bed, and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can have a more literate, not illiterate, a more literate Christian body in our churches. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or the comment, please.
Praise God for you today, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Brother Davis. God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. You have a very good discussion going on today. As usual, highly educational and informative. Believers need to listen, you know, to these broadcasts a little bit more so that they could take away some nuggets from this to learn and know and understand that, Dr. Youngblood, all churchgoers are not going to heaven anyway.
That's right.
Only the believers. Only believers in Christ, those who are blood-washed, born-again, Bible-believing Christians, people who believe in the Word of God fully as the unerrant Word of God doesn't have any flaws or anything in it, not looking for anything in it that can discredit God in any kind of way, because 1 John 5 tells us over there, Dr. Youngblood, that if we don't believe the record that God gave us of his son, then we make him a liar. Now, we might can make him in a way to where we think that we are justified by what we are saying and thinking because that's the way we believe it to be. But because we think it and believe it doesn't make it so. Because no one can make God a liar. No one can nullify his word. And it's time for Christians, high time, for us to join together, Dr. Youngblood, and do just like these people are doing out there now, that's pushing and having their way with things with this Black Lives Matter movement and all of this stuff that's going on that's causing all the social upheaval in society. It's time for us to get together, join together as one and stand up for holiness and stand up for righteousness. Because my bishop used to tell me a long time ago, I never forget Bishop Milton. He said that downward road is crowded, but in the straight and narrow, every now and then you will find a traveler. And this is what we got to come to understand. It's high time for us to get in the straight and the narrow way. Thank you.
Absolutely. Brother, you're exactly right. Thank you for that call and that insight. We need to, as Christians, what I believe I understand Brother Davis was just saying, as Christians, we need to get together and understand that we need to stand together and we need to recognize that it's the Word of God is the fundamental foundation of our faith. We need to take a stand for our faith, take a stand for the belief, and put aside all of these things like the Black Lives Matter, which has nothing to do with pigmentation of the skin, but has all to do with the socialist, Marxist, Democrat, communist arm in America that's trying to overthrow our government. We need to recognize that. We need to recognize also, as Brother Davis just said, that we need to recognize it's the Word of God. That is the only power, the only source of power that we have as Christians. And further, there are a lot of folks that are listening saying, well, you know, we've been video streaming our services, and the pastor's all pleased that he can sit back and do nothing during the week and simply say, we're going to video stream on Sunday. Here's an article that says, live streaming services hasn't been an option for many churches. Dateline Nashville, Tennessee, the latest Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, CDC guidelines for groups during COVID-19 outbreak recommended no gatherings for more than 50 people for 8 weeks, and it's gone further. As churches scramble to make decisions on how to move forward, new research finds many congregations are not prepared at all to shift their services to online. A study from the Nashville-based Lifeway Research concluded that about 41% of the pastors say they don't put any portion of their services online for people to view. About 52% say they post sermons online after the service is over, while 22% say they live stream every service. 10% say they live stream only the sermon itself. Ladies and gentlemen, the essence of this elongated article that time will not allow us to go into is that the overwhelming majority of the churches across America have never done any live streaming at all. Many cannot afford to do live streaming. Many are not equipped with live streaming. And multitudes of those in their churches have no wherewithal to watch anything that's called live streaming. So multitudes, mega numbers, have been cut out of worship services as a result of the ban on churches by the wannabe dictators across America, the blue state and city governors and mayors. Ladies and gentlemen, how can you worship online? How can you have a coming together and meet the requirements of the scripture command that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together? There are multitudes today, ladies and gentlemen, that are not in church and have not been in worship service as a result of it. And it's my conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, as I look at the survey, the research that's been done by the Barna Report and Lifeway Survey Group, as I review that and I connect the dots and the realization and the recognition that the church was already in a state of apostasy across America, and this has exacerbated and escalated the apostatizing from the faith, the falling away from the scripture. Here's another article that says, signs of decline in hope among key metrics of faith in America. Christianity in the United States has undergone dramatic change in the last few decades. Currently, just one in four Americans is a practicing Christian. Just one in four Americans is a practicing Christian, according to this article. It's part of the research. Practicing Christian, identify as a Christian, agree strongly that faith is very important to their lives and have attended services within the past month. Non-practicing Christians, I don't know how you find that. That's just my jumping into the statement. Non-practicing Christians are self-identified Christians who do not qualify as practicing Christian. In other words, they don't go to church. They don't worship. And yet they call themselves non-practicing. I'm saved, but I don't worship. I'm saved, but I don't pray. I'm saved, but I don't give tithes and offerings to the Lord. I'm saved, but I don't have fellowship with other Christians. I'm saved, but. Ladies and gentlemen, you can put that individual in the category of being lost as a green ball in high weeds. Understand that. Then you have the non-Christians, this article says, are U.S. adults who do not identify as a Christian at all. The first and the perhaps most significant change we'll explore in the practicing Christian area, this article reads, are now much smaller segment in the entire population. In the year 2000, 45% of all the sample qualified as practicing Christian. That share has consistently declined over the last 20 years. Now just one in four Americans, 25%. Say that they are practicing Christians. In essence, the share of practicing Christians has nearly dropped in half since the year 2000. And it goes on to talk about what identifies, how they identify, what they do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In the article, it says, in actuality, the numbers, only 36% or fewer Americans attend church weekly in 2020. This change could be correlated with a number of reasons, including the growing number of the Generation Z and the millennial makeup of the U.S. population, disputes about who gets the part of the lead in the church, part past and current church scandals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, it tries to go into the fragmented details as to why so many have fallen away from the church today. Those committed to spiritual practice of Bible reading have stayed just as committed to the worship services. In other words, there's a correlation in the research, ladies and gentlemen, that if you're committed to worshiping, if you're committed to being in church, if you're faithful, practicing Christian, you're also going to study the Word, read the Word, meditate on the Word, and pray. That is simply part and parcel of it, ladies and gentlemen. I find it absolutely sad that we find so many today that say that we ought not to be considered a Christian nation. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It was the Christian founders, yes, our founding fathers, that we have our founding documents that some want to argue about who were saved and who were not saved and who were simply this, this, and this. And I'm not going to get into the fragments of that today. But simply put, we're founded on a biblical foundation. Our nation was founded on a biblical foundation. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, it's because America is great today. It's simply because we've stood on the Word of God. We've believed the Word of God. We've stood on the warp and woof, the fabric that makes up our foundation, is and was the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some that want to reject that and respond to that in a negative fashion. But listen very carefully. Every law that we have, the basic fundamental laws that we have on the books today, came out of the Word of God. Why do we say it's illegal to commit murder? because of Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. Why do we say that it's illegal to commit theft? Because of Exodus 20:15, thou shalt not steal. Why do we consider it illegal to lie in court today? Because of Exodus 20:16, that we shall not bear false witness. Why is it illegal today to commit adultery? Because of Exodus 20, verse 14, that you can't take another man's wife. Why do we say that it's illegal today for a child to abuse the parents? Because Exodus 20:12, that the child is to honor thy parents, thy father and thy mother. Why do we say today that it's illegal to take a neighbor's property? Because of Exodus 20, verse 17, that we cannot covet the neighbor's property or the neighbor's wife. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that all that we have in the jurisprudence system in America has come from and is as a result of the Word of God. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to understand what's taking place in our nation. Here's another of the major group of articles in relationship to the survey and the data. 1 in 3 practicing Christians has stopped attending church. 1 in 3. 1 in 3 stopped attending church during COVID-19. Recently revealed the findings that the new Sunday morning highlighting trends in the church attendance and engagement since the nation's response to COVID-19 began in March of this year and social distancing pushing services online. Barner research identified a few types of church goers in the unique era of digital church. Christians streaming their pre-COVID-19 church online, Christians streaming a different church online, and Christians who have stopped attending church altogether. Ladies and gentlemen, when you study this massive research that's been done, you find that the mega number of those in churches that consider themselves as practicing Christians have stopped going to worship services altogether. Altogether, the great falling away has been exacerbated by the closure of our churches. It has not redounded to the benefit or the blessing of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, I say again, is the reason I'm so thankful that Dr. John MacArthur has finally, and I'm not criticizing him, but finally his eyes are open. Finally, he's taken a stand. Finally, he says, we're going to obey Christ and not Caesar. But 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, he was one of the first ones, ladies and gentlemen, that says, well, this is the law. We're commanded in the Scripture to obey the law. Therefore, we need to obey what the government says because the government is the ordained of God, and therefore we need to obey it and shut our churches. He did and stayed shut down for some 8 weeks and decided we're not going to do this anymore. And I pray that his eyes being open will open the eyes of multitudes of pastors across the nation that will take the same stand. Thousands are rising up in the state of California and saying we're not closing. Thousands are filing suit against the governors and the mayors in their cities saying we're no longer going to be silent. Silent no more ought to be the mantra of the Christian, especially the pastor. This article says the data collected in late April through early May of 2020, so percentages mentioned below may have again shifted in recent weeks as the pandemic has progressed. However, the response shown here reflecting engagement during the height of the U.S. social distancing measures this spring. 1 in 3 practicing Christians is still and only attending the pre-COVID churches. Now, when you go through this massive document, it finds that multitudes have simply dropped out of church altogether. Multitudes are not going back to their church at all, but simply dipping into this church and this church and this church rather than staying in a single church. It makes no difference if they decide to move a membership into another church. That's wonderful and good based on what they think they're being fed from the pulpit in that church, and that's how it ought to be. This says, though, finally, 1/3 of the practicing Christians say they have done neither of these things, that is, going to church and or looking for another church at all. Though some of these churchgoers say may be part of the minority of congregations that were still gathering for physical worship during these weeks, we can, for the most part, confidently interpret this group of those who have, quote, dropped out of church completely as a result of the shutdown of the churches in America. Ladies and gentlemen, God's going to hold a lot of folks responsible for what's taking place in our churches today. I believe the governors and the mayors are going to be held responsible for their ungodly, unholy, unconstitutional act of shutting churches down. Secondly, I believe God's going to hold pastors responsible for obeying the mandates of Caesar rather than obeying Christ in our churches and keeping our church doors open. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we're in a decline in America in spirituality, in Christianity, and in Christian thought, and in Christian activity as to what we ought to do. This article says it's more likely for Christians to have stopped attending church altogether during the pandemic. In fact, 32% of the practicing Christians have done just that. The remaining 18% of the practicing Christians are viewing worship services by multitudes of churches throughout the month rather than being in a church where they can worship and comfort and encourage others in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the article that I've referred to several times, and you've heard it before, I'll share a brief portion of it. Dr. John MacArthur explains why he didn't defy state orders during the first shutdown. And Dr. MacArthur, if I can just simply recite it rather than reading it. Dr. John MacArthur said at the outset that we simply believe that it's what the government says. We believe that it might be very difficult and deadly, so therefore we're going to shut down. But he realized later, ladies and gentlemen, this article says, MacArthur started with the message entitled, "We Must Obey God Rather Than Man," by saying that many people don't understand why the church is choosing together. "The world does not understand the importance of the church," he explained. "The world doesn't understand that it's just essential today as it has been in the past. It's the only hope for eternal life. It's the only hope for doomed sinners. People have been very concerned to make sure people's physical lives are protected. In the process, shut down places where there is hope for their spiritual lives. We are the light of the world, and we need to be set on a hill," Dr. MacArthur said as he preached Matthew 5:13-16. "That's why we're here today. This is our hill, and the light of the gospel is going to shine from our church." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the position that every Christian ought to take. That's the position that we ought to see coming from the pulpits across America today. But unfortunately, we're not seeing that as we should. It is something that we ought to understand is our responsibility. An article here says, "Christian Champion joins choir chorus of warning nation with the point of no return." This writer says, if the election goes to Biden, he said, there's a good chance the Democrats then will control the two branches of Congress and the White House. And considering the kind of things that they're proposing, it could well be the point of no return in this country. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if the church is salt and light, and the Bible says we are, we need to be salt. We need to get out of the shaker and be out in the world to preserve the decaying society. We need to be light, get out of the closet and shine the light where it ought to be shined in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply recap as we close some of the statistics found in these two researches. 1 in 3 Christians have stopped attending church during COVID-19. They've simply dropped out of church. The number of so-called practicing Christians has dropped 50% from 2000 to present. The number of atheists has dramatically increased. 36% fewer Americans attend church any place weekly. Fewer committed to the Bible reading. Those who attend church regularly also read the Bible regularly. But 54% of the culture today, 54% says culture changes, the Word of God becomes obsolete. Ladies and gentlemen, that's scary. We need to turn back to the Word, to get into the Word, and to stay in the Word, meditate on the Word day and night, as God charged Joshua to do. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.